Yitchanan el Adonai, Ba'eisahi Lemor, Adonai Elohim, Ata Hachilosa Leharos, Es Avdecha, Es Godlecha, Ves Yodecha, Hachazaka, Asher Mi'el Bashamaim Uvaorets, Asher Yasech Himasecha, I implored God at that time, saying, My Lord Hashem Elokim, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand, for what power is there in heaven or on earth that can perform according to your deeds and according to your mighty acts? OU Israel presents Welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Vaetchanan, also known as Shabbat Nachamu. Recording and first availability, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 11th day of Menachem Av, corresponding this year to August 3rd. Okay, Tisha B'Av. The 9 days, the 3 weeks are behind us. We are now pointed in the direction of comfort and consolation rather than mourning the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. I'll address that issue in a moment. But we are also pointing in not that long from now, the Yamim Noraim, beginning really with Elul. And there are some people who say that the word Av, the name of this month, is Rashi Tevot, initials of Elul Ba. Elul is coming. And that sort of takes over after we finish with Tisha B'Av. It's behind us now, but Tisha B'Av wasn't over when the fast ended. It sort of continued through the next day till noontime. That would be yesterday. And now we have a brief looking forward to Shabbat Nachamu. Sometimes it's longer, sometimes it's even shorter. But it's coming up very soon. And the sources tell us that one should be a little bit more joyous. That could be interpreted in many different ways on a Shabbat. A special dessert at the meals. More singing of Zmirot and songs. In acknowledgement to the fact that even though the Beit HaMikdash has not yet been rebuilt, for this year at least, we have concluded the national mourning period. And actually the point of the extension of the restrictions of the 9 days into the 10th of Av till noontime sort of reminds us of, well, just because you fasted for 25 hours doesn't mean that the Beit HaMikdash is here and the causes of its destruction are still on our heads, and it behooves us, pardon the word, to do something about it. Any generation in whose time the Beit HaMikdash is not rebuilt, it's as if it were destroyed in that generation. That's a heavy statement that says we are still perpetuating the sins of our ancestors, which caused the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, which caused the exile from the land of Israel. And we need to get our act together so that God will respond by saying, enough of exile and enough of mourning the destruction, because my people have finally learned how to behave in such a way that makes punishment no longer necessary. That's the way I like to put it. Before we continue, let's say Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130. Shir Hama'alot Mima'amakim Karaticha Adonai. Adonai Shimava Koli Tihyena Oznecha Kashuvot L'Kol Tachanunai. Imavono Tishmoria Adonai Mia Amod Ki Imacha Hasalicha L'Ma'an Tivarei. Kiviti Adonai Kivata Nafshi V'Lidvaro Hochalti. Nafshi L'Adonai Mishomerim LaBoker Shomerim LaBoker. Yachel Yisrael El Adonai Ki Im Adonai HaChesed V'Harbe Imo Fidut. V'Hu Yifde Et Yisrael Mikol Avonotav. Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael Hanatunim Batsarao V'Ashivya HaOmedim Bein Bayam Uvein Bayabasha HaMakom Yirachem Aleihem V'Yotziyem Mitzara L'Yirvacha U'Meafela L'Ora U'Mishibud L'Geula Hashta Ba'Agala U'Vizman Kariv V'Nomar Amen. I mentioned at the beginning that Parshat Vo'et Hanan is the Shabbos Torah reading, but the Shabbat is more popularly known by its nickname, Shabbat Nachamu, the Shabbat of comfort, but the term Nachamu comes from the Haftarah reading. We have four examples of, I think it's four, of Shabbatot that are named or nicknamed for the Torah for the Haftarah reading of that particular Shabbat. Chazon last week, Nachamu this week, Shabbat Shira and Shabbat Hagadol names both come from the Haftorah. But that's not our point at the moment. Our point is that Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 40, is the Haftorah reading for Vo'et Hanan. And it begins with the Pasuk, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Yomar Elokeichem, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Dabaru Alev Yerushalayim, speak to the heart of Jerusalem, and proclaim to her that her time of exile has been fulfilled. And it continues. There's a lot to analyze in the Haftorah, but on the face of it, we will suffice at the moment to say that as there was a build-up from the 17th of Tammuz, Shivasar B'Tammuz, the 3 weeks that Ashkenazim follow with certain restrictions, the 9 days which everybody follows with further restrictions, the week in which Tisha B'Av falls, Erev Tisha B'Av in the afternoon, Leil Tisha B'Av and Tisha B'Av day. At noontime, on Tisha B'Av, the saddest day of the year in the Jewish calendar, we begin to perceive a little bit of a change for the better. Very slight. At Chatzot, halachic noon of Tisha B'Av, the synagogue, the shul, is returned to full lighting. It has been on reduced lighting since the night before. The parochet, the curtain of the ark, and the coverings of the shulchan at the bima and the amud from where the chazan davens were removed, they are returned. And talis and tefillin, which were not worn in the morning, are put on for mincha in the afternoon. And we are no longer required to sit on the ground or on a low stool. We may sit on a regular chair at mincha time. The flavor of mincha is more like a normal, we'll use the word in quotes, a normal fast day, rather than the heavier Torah reading and Haftorah of the morning of Tisha B'Av. And things seem to be lightening up a bit. All the other restrictions of Tisha B'Av continue through the day. But those things that I mentioned, and I think I got them all, are enough, especially what I didn't mention yet, that we have a passage that is added to the bracha in the Amidah of Mincha. Vili Yerushalayim Yircha Barachamim Tashuv, to the city of Jerusalem, your city, you will return. We ask God to return. And we add the passage of Nachem, asking for comfort and consolation. As I said, that carries to this Shabbat of Nachamu, and actually continues for 6 more weeks after the Shabbat, all of the Shabbatot between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah of Shabbatot are Shabbatot of consolation. And the Haftorahs are the ones that give us that flavor. They are all from the book of Yeshayahu, all from chapter 40 and on, which is the consolation portion of the book, which started with prophecies of destruction. So the comfort begins. The words, Nachamu Nachamu Ami Omar Elokeichem and Dabaru Alev Yerushalayim, were made into a song. There are a few different melodies that have developed over the years, but I want to play for you now a piece of Shlomo Carlebach. I think he needs to get the credit for pioneering, we'll say, a certain phase of Hasidic Jewish music. And this is not only his melody, but this is he singing Nachamu Nachamu Ami. If I have time, I'll play one or two more Nachamus. You'll see a different tempo and a different flavor to it, but I wanted to start with Shlomo Carlebach, Nachamu.
Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Yomar Elokechem. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Yomar Elokechem. Give me a
Nachamu, Nachamu.
That the Torah reading of the Shabbat right after Tisha B'Av is Parshat Va'etchanan, that I don't believe that the word coincidence really deserves to be in our dictionary. Because technically speaking, the cycle of the reading of the 54 weekly portions running from Simchat Torah and the Shabbat right after, all the way around the year to Simchat Torah with Vizot HaBracha, does not necessarily mean that any particular calendar date or event will coincide with a weekly Torah reading that relates to it. But Devarim last week for the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av, and Va'etchanan this week, unreal how it is custom made to be the Shabbat following Tisha B'Av. First of all, it was also the reading of Tisha B'Av morning itself. The portion that we read a couple of days ago on Tisha B'Av comes right out of Va'etchanan. That is not a given. Special occasions where we read Torah portion usually do not relate to the weekly portion that is due. But this one does. Ki tolid banim uvnei vanim v'no shantem v'oretz v'hishchatem v'asitem pesel t'munat kol v'asitem hara b'nei Hashem Elokecha l'hach iso. It starts out with, when you have children and grandchildren, and they pervert the way of life, and make idols, and do bad things in God's eyes to get him angry, so to speak. So there's testimony and prophecy by Moshe. I bear witness to you this day, and I call the heavens and the earth to be witnesses, ki avod tovedun maher me'al ha'aretz, that you will quickly perish from the land which you are about to cross the Jordan River now and inhabit. Lo tarichun yomim aleha, ki hishameid hishameidun. You will not have extended life in this country that you're about to go into, the land of Israel. And it continues in a very heavy way, prophesying and predicting a time when we will turn away from God. And unfortunately, that came to be. By the way, prophecies of doom, if you want to call them that, need not ever come true. In other words, when a true prophet of God, including Moshe Rabbeinu, the chief among them, prophesies something bad happening, it ain't necessarily so that it will happen. Because we have the power of repentance in order to avert decrees that were made by God. He could change his mind. Vayinochem Hashem al hara'ah asher diber la'asot la'amo. The Torah tells us after Chet HaEgel and Moshe's pleading on behalf of the people, God regretted what he had said he would do to the people, and he didn't do it. And that does not challenge the truth of God's word, neither through a prophet nor from himself. So, appropriate for Tisha B'Av mourning, except built into that Torah reading, was the ability to repent and come back to God. And the heartwarming reminder, Ata hareta l'da'at ki Hashem hu Elokim ein od milvado. You have been taught and shown that God is one and unique, and there is no other beside him. You heard his voice at Har Sinai, and the Torah speaks of the love of our ancestors and God's promise to give us Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel. Vishamarta et chukav et mitzvotav, just keep his laws and his mitzvot, which I am teaching and reviewing with you this day, so things will be good for you and your children afterwards. Ulema'an ta'arich yamim al ha'adama, and so that you will have long life on this land that God is giving you forever. That's Tisha B'Av Torah reading, borrowed from Vo'et Chanan. And when we come to Shabbat, Parshat Vo'et Chanan, a number of days after Tisha B'Av, we find it contained within a larger context. That larger context starts with Moshe telling us that he pleaded repeatedly with God for permission to go into the land of Israel, and God refused to rescind his decree that Moshe will not enter the land. This is a throwback to last week in Parshat Devarim, when Moshe is recounting for the people the episode of the spies, or the scouts, the meraglim, and he shoulders a lot of the burden for what happened, and even says, because of Cheta Meraglim, God is not letting him enter the land. Now, the fact of the matter is, the Torah testifies that it was a different episode that lost Moshe's permission to go into the land. But Moshe took the burden of Cheta Meraglim heavily on his own shoulders, because he was the one who sent the spies, and he actually thought it was a good idea. And God allowed him to send them, but only on his say-so, not backed up with, this is what God wants. It wasn't. Now, if we connect this to Tisha B'Av, where the Mishnah tells us that the first of five tragedies that occurred on Tisha B'Av, and unfortunately we add to that list many tragedies that happened since then, but the first was the decree against our ancestors, the adult male population of the generation who came out of Egypt, to wander around in the Midbar and die out and not enter the land, with the singular exceptions of Kalev and Yehoshua. So Moshe is starting Vo'et Chanan by saying that he pleaded repeatedly that the decree against him should be rescinded. But what he's saying to the people is, I lost my case. My generation lost their case for going into Eretz Canaan, at least the adult males. But you, this new generation, this is where you shall go. And therefore, Parshat Vo'et Chanan gives us sort of like a blank slate, a clean slate, and we start again with mitzvot, which are in abundance from this point on, and with the connection to living in Eretz Yisrael. So when the Torah says more in Parshat Vo'et Chanan than any place else, that the purpose of observing mitzvot is to live in Eretz Yisrael. Re'ei limadeti etchem chukim u'mishpatim kasher tzivani Hashem Elokai. See that I have taught you laws and statutes that God commanded me to tell you. La'asot kein, to do them bekerev ha'aretz asher atem ba'im shama lirishta. In order to do them in the land which God is bringing you and giving you as a heritage. Ushmartem v'asitem, and you shall do them. And the focus is repeated over and over again that the purpose of our nationhood was to receive the Torah, live a life of Torah and mitzvot in the land of Israel. I've said this many times, and I'm going to say it again. The first encounter between God and Moshe was at the burning bush. People are enslaved in Egypt, bitterly oppressed and threatened. And God says to Moshe, I remember the promises I made to the patriarchs. I heard the cries of the people in Egypt, and I will go down into that land in order to bring them up to a goodly land, a land flowing with milk and honey, meaning Eretz Yisrael. This is a repeated theme when Moshe transmits this to the people still in Mitzrayim, and he tells them that God will take them out, and that God will save them, and God will redeem them from Egypt, and he will take the people unto him as a nation, and he will be their God, and he will bring them to the land which he promised Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and he will give that land to the Jewish people in perpetuity. That was back in Parshat Shmot and Parshat Vo'era, and here it is again in spades in Vo'et Hanan, where over and over again Moshe talks about keeping mitzvot, listening to God in Israel. And therefore, Parshat Vo'et Hanan is your clean slate. Try it again. Do it right this time. Take the Torah, take the mitzvot, and the account of receiving the Torah is in Vo'et Hanan, repeated. We have a second presentation of the Ten Commandments and the whole description of the Sinai experience and the connection between receiving the Torah, commanded to keep Torah and mitzvot, and go into the land of Israel and do it there. I mentioned earlier that the Mishnah in Ta'anit has five tragedies associated with Tisha B'Av, and I also said that unfortunately there have been many more since. But the first three are the Chet HaMeraglim and the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash and the second Beit HaMikdash. And the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed primarily because of idolatry, which means turning our backs on God. Chet HaMeraglim was a rejection of Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel. Idolatry is a rejection of God. And the second Beit HaMikdash, without belaboring the point, was destroyed by interpersonal problems, which is like a rejection of the way we're supposed to behave vis-a-vis our fellows. So we need to improve on all of that, and all of that is in Parshat Vo'et Hanan in a way to say, look, Tisha B'Av is over, and this is what you have to do from here on in. V'atem ha-dvekim b'Hashem Elokeichem chayim kulechem hayom. All those who cleave to God are alive today, even the ones that have passed away. And on, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Our statement of commitment to the one God and acceptance of Him as our King and the command to love Him and to study His Torah and to do His mitzvot is all part of Voed Chanan and the Aseret HaDibrot, as I mentioned, the Ten Commandments. So it's like, okay, we mourned till now. Now it's time to look ahead to the future and use the mitzvot, the commandments of Parshat Voed Chanan and culminate with coming to Eretz Yisrael and doing all of the above here, that puts us in the direction once again of the Geula Shlema, the complete redemption. Here is another Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, a song this time from an album by Yehuda Green called Borcheni, and you will feel a different pace and a different tempo in the song. Same words from the Navi Yeshayahu, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, Omar Elokeichem, and Dabaru Alev Yerushalayim, V'chulei.
Yeah.
the whole book of Devarim is Moshe Rabbeinu talking to the people of Israel, the generation that's about to enter the land of Israel, and all generations, including our own. He seems very, very concerned. For example, Rak Hishomer Lecha Ushmor Nafshecha Ma'od. Just be very, very careful to preserve your souls greatly. Pen Tishkach Et HaDvarim Asher Ra'u Einecha, lest you will forget what you have seen, and wipe out of your hearts all of that you have witnessed, but rather, Vahudatam Livanecha Vilivnei Vanecha, transmit this to your children and to your grandchildren. What? Yom Asher Amadta Lifnei Hashem Elokecha B'chorev, the day that you stood at Har Sinai, Be'emor Hashem Elai, when God told me, gather the people and I will tell them what's going on, and I will teach them to have Yirat Shemayim, Kol Hayamim, all the days that they are on the land, and they shall teach this to their children. There was an experience at Har Sinai, which, if we jump several hundred years later to the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, the people obviously did not heed Moshe's warning. They were able to, let me see if I'd explain it a little differently. Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned that the average human being who lives in this world, this natural world, is much more comfortable with physical, tangible things than he is with the realm of intangible and invisible. So, again, let me put it like this. The Rambam describes the first form of idolatry in this world, which was sun worship. The sun is so bright you can't even look at it. It's hot. We know that it gives life on Earth via the production by the chlorophyll of plants and trees, combining sunlight and producing oxygen for us to breathe and to live by. And the sun was such a perfect example of one of God's superior creations that people originally venerated the sun as a way of worshiping God. So if that does not get exaggerated or taken out of context, maybe we don't have a problem. If a person can ponder nature and say the sun, created by God and placed into the heavens on the fourth day of creation, is truly an example of God's awesome power, I don't think there's a problem with that. The problem came, as Rambam described, in subsequent generations, at the very beginning of the world, to venerating the sun as itself, and then false prophets prophesying in the name of the sun, and then people creating a gold orb as a representation of the sun and worshipped it and built a temple to the sun god, and now we're into full-blown idolatry. What was the problem? The problem is God is invisible and intangible, and people have a hard time with that. The sun they could handle that. There it is. It's in the sky. Don't look at it. You'll hurt your eyes. Study it. And it's part of human nature to relate well to those kind of things rather than an all-powerful, invisible, and intangible God. So this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was warning the people against. And this is what people in early generations that followed didn't quite get. The allure to that kind of idol worship is foreign to us today. And our sources tell us that the desire that people once had towards idolatry has no longer has a hold on us. But it was a very, very powerful thing. Of course, we have our own forms of idolatry. Could be money, could be the internet, could be Facebook, whatever. I'm not saying that Facebook is Avodah Zarah, but if you carry it to its extreme, you're getting in that direction. Not the point. The point is that this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was warning us against. This is what people failed to heed the warning. And this is what ultimately resulted in the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. So again, here we are, the Shabbat after Tisha B'Av, the Shabbat after not just mourning the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, but the Shabbat that we internalize the experiences of Tisha B'Av, and now following Tisha B'Av, we are again at a crossroads, a fork in the road, and which path will we take this time? This goes along with trying to imagine yourself in the crowd of people when 12 scouts return from a 40-day sojourn in this land that God wants to take us to. And we listen to their reports, and we listen to what they have to say. And we panic because of the 10 Meraglim who said, it's a nice place to visit, but we wouldn't want to live there. What do you mean you wouldn't want to live there? That's where God told us we're supposed to live. So what do you mean you wouldn't want to live there? And Kolev put it well when he said, if this is what God wants, he's not going to leave us in a lurch. We will be able to prevail. I keep getting back to that theme, but it's here, all over. That's Parshat Vo'etchanan. A great, new, clean slate opportunity to get it right this time. And become the generation in whose time the Beit HaMikdash was rebuilt. Weddings that have not been held during the three-week period of mourning of the Beit HaMikdash are now being scheduled, or have been scheduled for now, right after Tisha B'Av or the day following Tisha B'Av, especially into Shabbat Nachamu, and next week, big week for weddings. And really, if you look at it, that's the story. A wedding represents the continuity, the joyous continuity of Jewish life from one generation to the next. And that was problematic in the process of churban, destruction. And part of Geula is Od Yishama Ba'arei Yehuda V'chutzot Yerushalayim. We will still hear in the streets and courtyards of Judah and Jerusalem the sound of the chatan and the kala and the joy that's associated with a wedding. Can't think of a better way to wrap up the show. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom and not just comfort from the process of churban, which we lived through Tisha B'Av, but a firm commitment to an agenda the agenda being summarized by Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The mitzvah to believe in one God, the statement of declaration of our commitment to belief in one God, the subsequent wording of Yahavta at Hashem Elokecha, to love God, and to love God means to behave in such a way that shows that love of God. Let me finish with one of my all-time favorite Divrei Torah. If a person teaches Torah to a fellow, a teacher to a class, one friend to his friend, says a Devar Torah, gives an explanation of something, if that is a intellectual process, then we are talking about a mitzvah which happens to come from Parshat Vaeschanan called learning Torah, learning and teaching Torah. Shene'emar, as it says in the verse, v'shinantam livanecha v'dibarta bam. You will review it and teach it to your children, and you will speak words of Torah. When there is more than an intellectual experience, when there is an enthusiasm and an excitement at the particular analysis of a pasuk or the particular Devar Torah, that ignites not only the other person's mind, engaging his mind, but ignites his heart, and there's a twinkle in his eye, and there's an excitement to having acquired this new piece of Torah, then according to the Sefer HaCharedim, which is a work on the 613 mitzvot, the person has fulfilled not only v'shinantam livanecha, but also the mitzvah of v'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha. You have increased love of God in this world, and that is a big mitzvah way up high. So let's finish off the show with a track from Yonatan Razel called Od Yishama. It's from an album called Between the Sounds, I think. Yeah. And let that be the mood that you carry into this Shabbat.
Shama be'are Yehuda uvechutzot Yerushalayim kol sason kol simcha kol chatan vekol kala Odi shama be'are Yehuda uvechutzot Yerushalayim kol sason kol simcha kol chatan vekol kala Yerushalayim kol sason kol simcha kol chatan kol kala o kol sason kol simcha kol chatan kol kala kol mitzalot chatanim mechupatam unearim im shne neginatam Thank you.
צלות, חתני מחופת המונערים עם שתי נגינתם, כל ססון וכל שמחה, כל חתן וכל קלה, חתן וכל קלה, כל מצלות, חתני מחופת המונערים עם שתי נגינתם, שתי
שלום, להשתמע.